wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going on a Tuesday on B&E. Grab them a light pullover, like jacket, a little chilly outside this morning. We'll take that. Yesterday at this time, it was 75 degrees. This morning, about 45 degrees to start your Tuesday, the 7th of December. It's not anything like we saw in Buffalo last night with gale force winds and a game out of the 60s, it felt like, with the Patriots and Bills on Monday Night Football. We'll wrap up Week 13 in the National Football League. Patriots are on a roll. We'll talk about that. Also, the college football landscape continues to evolve with a couple more high-profile coaching hires got made yesterday, the recruiting trail heating up, and word yesterday of a second major name, image, and likeness initiative coming out of the 40 Acres. We'll dive in there and its impact and potential impact for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. We now know who the four finalists are for the Heisman Trophy. We've got some NBA, a big stunner in college basketball. Upset there. We'll get to all of it. It's going to be a busy 4 hours of fun and conversation that begins right now. We appreciate you being there. However you find us, on 104.9, on 101.9, and AM 1260. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Hope you enjoyed your birthday yesterday.
Thank you, sir.
You had a good day.
I certainly did.
Good for you. Good morning to soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job that you do. It is appreciated. It's always appreciated.
No doubt. And, good start to the 49th. My 50th year started yesterday. I'm 49, so
you're going on.
The trek to 50.
You're getting on with it.
The trek to 50 began yesterday. I'll count down the days. 364 now to the half a century mark. But, yeah, it was a great day. Watched the football game last night and had a nice meal, and that's about all you do. Happy to be here.
That's right.
And ready to roll. It's going to be a fun one. And we'll get this thing going. Did you play any poker last night with
your
buddies on a Monday night?
I most certainly
did.
Take
some money from my buddies?
No.
I'll
get that from them in golf sometime this week. But did I get it last night? No. I was told you don't have to play every hand.
Oh, no.
There are times when you can, you got to know when to hold them.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers taught us that.
Yeah, but I did come back at the end, so I only lost $25 during the Christmas holidays,
Make that back.
This is
Yeah, you were 3-0 on your Gold Star lock picks last week, so you're feeling
pretty good.
And, if you're paying attention to my advice, you came in on the under last night.
The New England Patriots. Yeah. Thank you for those three.
Another divisional matchup. As we've told you, after Week 10, when teams in the same division play, just take the under. That went 5-2 this weekend. 5-2 with those seven matchups, including last night's game. They got just 24 points on the board total. The over-under was 41 when they kicked off last night. So, and we'll make up for those $25. Speaking of golf for you later in the week, we're going to approach 90 degrees later this week.
How about that?
On Friday, it's going to be, chilly today, which will take, temperatures will top out about 68 degrees, but progressively warmer as the week goes on, almost 80 tomorrow on Wednesday. 81, and then, could approach 90 degrees on Friday.
Well, I'll just say
into
this.
Into a cooler weekend.
If you tell my friends from Pennsylvania it's a chilly 68 today, they'll freak out.
They'll freak out because they were dealing with somewhat the Bills and the Patriots were dealing with last night. Which looked just
awful.
Oh,
and it's really coming on, too.
It looked just awful.
At least the
snow held off, because if you saw the scenes from Buffalo last night ahead of the Monday Night Football game, ahead of the game, like 5 o'clock, that same wind that you saw that was wreaking havoc on the game itself, there were, snow flurries. So the wind was blowing and no one could see.
Didn't matter for New England. They weren't throwing it anyway.
It's like a blizzard. Yeah, let's get to the headlines, your trending topics. What are your lead stories to start your Tuesday? Make sure you're caught up. Ernie Hatton Real Estate, bring them to you. And we'll get to that Patriots-Bills game last night. We'll start, though, with college football news and college athletics news with a second significant name, image, and likeness initiative that will directly benefit Texas student-athletes was announced yesterday. Last week, we told you about the Clark Field Collective that was announced. Well, now comes the introduction of Horns with a Heart, which says they will sponsor every Longhorn offensive lineman with $50,000 in an annual financing for their individual name, image, and likeness to make charitable appearances, bring awareness to worthy causes that impact the local communities. It's been dubbed the Pancake Factory. The initiative was founded by a handful of UT alumni. It is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We'll see if Steve Sarkisian and his staff can use the newly announced program to their advantage on the recruiting trail, with the Longhorns in pursuit of a number of the nation's top offensive line recruits. One of those, five-star offensive lineman Kelvin Banks from Houston Summer Creek, reopened his recruitment yesterday. He had been committed to Oregon, but officially decommitted yesterday in the wake of Mario Cristobal's departure from Oregon. He's taken over at Miami. Also on the recruiting trail yesterday, another five-star prospect is decommitted from Oklahoma and will now be part of the Texas A&M huge recruiting haul. Class of 2022 defensive lineman Gabriel Brownlow Dindy from Lakeland, Florida, announced yesterday that he is flipping his commitment from OU to the Aggies. He is ranked as the number three overall player in 2022 and the number one defensive lineman. He's the fifth 2022 recruit that Oklahoma has lost since Lincoln Riley announced he was leaving for USC. And it becomes the fourth five-star commitment to Texas A&M's 2022 class, joining quarterback Connor Wegman from Houston, wide receiver Evan Stewart from Frisco, and fellow defensive lineman Walter Nolan from the state of Tennessee. Also from college football, four finalists for the 2021 Heisman Trophy revealed last night. Three quarterbacks, Alabama's Bryce Young, who is the favorite at this point, Ohio State's C.J. Stroud, Pittsburgh's Kenny Pickett, along with Michigan defensive lineman Aiden Hutchinson, are headed to New York City. One of them will be presented the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night. NFL Monday Night Football last night to wrap up Week 13 on a cold and extremely windy night in Buffalo. The streaky New England Patriots held off the homestanding Bills 14-10 in a game that saw their quarterback in New England, Mac Jones, attempt only three passes. Patriots rushed for 222 yards on 46 attempts. That was led by Damian Harris's 111 yards and a touchdown. With the win, the Patriots now sit atop the AFC playoff standings at 9-4. They've won seven in a row after starting 2-4. In the NBA, Spurs lost in Phoenix 108-104. And how about the upset in college basketball? Previously winless Texas Southern out of the SWAC conference took down 20th-ranked Florida in Gainesville 69-54.
Brought to you by Ernie Hatton Real Estate. Let Ernie Hatton show you how to use your current equity to move up into the home of your dreams. Call or text Ernie Hatton at 507-5142.
All right, yeah, so three passes. Mac Jones, this was like a game out of the 60s. He was just handing it off and handing it off, and you almost have to appreciate
that. And they control the clock. I mean, they did everything that they needed to do and wanted to do.
It was almost fun to watch. It's just a masterful performance by Bill Belichick's team that is so adaptable. You know, they average over 30 passes a game. This really is an offense that's built around the short passing game, short, quick passing game of Josh McDaniels.
No, they work by the game. They don't work by...
They're totally the Swiss Army knife. And that's one of the reasons Bill Belichick's so big on bringing in very intelligent players, smart players that can, you know, pick up new things. And they understood this weather was going to be a huge factor. They adapted to it better. And really, the game turned on one long run. Damian Harris broke off a 61-yard touchdown run in the first quarter against the Buffalo Bills defense. And unfortunately, I was playing against him in fantasy football. Ooh. That hurt last night. Gosh dang it. But then, you know, the only Bills touchdown came after a punt that the Patriots wide receiver N'Keal Harry allowed to hit him in the head. I mean, you kind of glanced off of his helmet, which became a muffed punt and a fumble, which set up the Bills' only touchdown. But it was a defensive struggle, and in the end, the Patriots just find a way to win football games.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch them play, that's the ultimate team when it comes to complimentary football.
Yeah.
In all aspects. I mean, but they play by the game. They don't play by, you know, we've played this group in our division. No. How did they play us the last game? Here's what we need to take away from them.
Yeah, I mean, it was a masterclass.
And the Bills can't run the ball to save their lives.
And that becomes the issue, right, for the Bills. That's what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, the Bills were over 50% odds favorites to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's certainly flipped, because in that last month, we saw the Bills go to Tennessee and get pounded by a Titans team that can pound the football and play physical.
Yeah, the Bills used to be a physical team. They don't look so physical anymore.
Well, think about that. In the month since, they were, you know, the odds favorites with the Chiefs' slow start to make the Super Bowl. They can't run the ball, and then they play the Tennessee Titans, the Indianapolis Colts, and the New England Patriots. They lose all three of those games because they are not a physical football team.
They got soft and played a soft team, and then they played two teams that just punched them in the head.
Yeah. And, you know, the Colts, the Titans, and now the Patriots are three of the most physical teams in the AFC, and the Patriots are the team nobody wants to play. in the AFC because you got Bill Belichick in that defense that's just getting better and better. And as you said, they're totally adaptable to the game. Does anybody think they can't beat Kansas City or can't beat whoever? Insert AFC contender here. That team, even with a rookie quarterback, can beat anybody with the coaching and the style of play that they will bring. Now, the Chiefs certainly could beat the Patriots, but who would you pick right now in a game in an AFC title game situation, Chiefs or Patriots? I got New England.
I'll take New England's D.
Yeah. Force a couple turnovers, hold on to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and, Mac Jones doing just enough.
And the way Kansas City's guys are catching the ball with the ball ricocheting off their hands now.
Yeah.
New England loves those tip balls.
Well, and that's
what get all over those.
That's what's fun about the NFL. Obviously, we're now 13 weeks in and still have, plenty of football to be played. But the Chiefs are turning their fates, right? I mean, from the Bills slide backwards, the Chiefs have now, from their slow start, have recovered, and now they're playing more of a physical brand of football where they're controlling the ball and playing better defense. And so those right now are the two best teams in the AFC, without a doubt, the Patriots and the Chiefs. And they could be on a collision course at this
truly
point.
Truly have made the NFL a marathon now.
Oh, man. And they're planning on 18 games at some point down the road. So NFL, we'll get into it. Obviously, the Cowboys won their game on Thursday night to start the week. And now the Cowboys trying to angle. Guess what? They play the new Washington football team this week in a Sunday game. It's
Heineke. We want Heineke.
It's the second match.
We're going to get Heineke, aren't we, Zay?
And it's the first of two matchups with the Washington football team in the next 3 weeks for the Cowboys. And if you're paying attention to the NFC East
standings.
I like
a sweep by the Cowboys here.
Well, you could bury the football team without a doubt because, Washington's sitting there at 6-6. They've won four straight. Obviously if the Washington football team in our nation's capital Sunday could find a way to beat the Cowboys, they'd be just a game back of Dallas in the standings and right there in the mix. Now, as you say, if the Dallas Cowboys can sweep them in those two games, see you later, Cowboys will win this division because it doesn't feel like Philadelphia or the New York Giants are much of a threat.
How many of those floaters is Heineke going to throw over the middle of the field trying to get it to the one dude number? What's that dude's number, 47? No, 80. I mean, their wide receiver, the one guy.
Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, who's got my speed.
No, Terry McLaurin's a speedster. For Washington?
Yeah.
He's the kid out of Ohio State.
Be careful what you wish for, Buck. Be careful what you wish for.
Well, the Cowboys have five games to go, two against Washington in the next 3 weeks. That's sandwiched with a giant game with the Giants in between it on December 19th. They play Philadelphia in the last game of the regular season. The only game of the next five that really is vaunted is they're playing the Arizona Cardinals in Cowboys Stadium on January the 2nd.
Washington, let me tell you, Washington with the one receiver. No, they actually have two. I don't know if the tight end's playing the big dude, but I thought he may have gotten hurt on Sunday.
He did, Logan Thomas.
Logan, is he done for the season?
They fear done for the season for the Washington football team. Logan Thomas there.
Did he do that going down the sideline?
I didn't see the injury. I just read about it this morning.
If Logan's out, Zay, that's even Brown may get a pick on Saturday, on Sunday.
Good. It's not good. You need all hands on deck.
Okay. And if somebody points out on our specs text line, we appreciate it. Dak Prescott, 8-1 lifetime against Washington. Look. The Cowboys have a pretty
stat games.
Manageable final five games. I mean, the marquee showdown with Arizona, who's sitting at 10-2, if the Cowboys can get on a streak here, take the New Orleans win, the extra time off, beat what is just an average to below average Washington team Sunday, and then they go to the New York Giants, back home for Washington, which is, you could be, if you're spinning this optimistically, you could be on a four-game winning streak sitting at 12-4 when you play Arizona. The Arizona Cardinals on the day after New Year at AT&T Stadium ahead of the trip to Philadelphia. So Cowboys kind of control their own fate here as far as the division goes. They got to be feeling good about it, but let's be honest, they got to play better football. I mean, right now the offense is not playing great. Tony Pollard is outperforming Zeke Elliott at running back. They're starting to get some guys back. DeMarcus Lawrence is back.
And Washington's playing better. They're playing really good. Remember that so-called invincible defense they were going to be bringing back this year.
They played no D early.
Yeah, now they're playing okay, though.
No, they've won four in a row, and you have to prepare. But the Cowboys are more talented than the Washington football team. And, Dak Prescott is better than Taylor Heineke.
I don't know, Zay, about that. You hearing that? Your boy Tabitha Heineke.
Yeah, I'm asking, Zay, are you a Washington fan? That's not true, right?
No, I'm just a Taylor Heineke fan.
You like Taylor Heineke. Okay.
Yeah.
You're on the Heineke train.
Yes.
Okay.
It's time to get off of that, too.
Time to get off. But all right, so there's your football NFL wrapping up week 13. We'll talk more about the Patriots and how about three? This is like a game out of the 60s. Like single wing, handoff, handoff, handoff. But they do win the football game because they were more physical last night and better coached.
Hey, how about congratulations to Jay Norvell?
Yeah, he's the new head coach at Colorado State.
They just try to make that program something special, don't they?
Who, Colorado State?
Yeah. Fort Collins is a nice place, but man, that's a...
Yeah, obviously the big coaching hire is done yesterday, official. Brett Venables introduced it at Oklahoma. Mario Cristobal, official at Miami. That is a done deal. And now Oregon needs a head coach as the dominoes fall. And as we say, the Longhorns, Steve Sarkisian on the recruiting trail. You know, I don't know. We'll see what the impact of this latest name, image, and likeness initiative that has been put together by, you know, UT donors to try to support the football program and football athletes. The Clark Field Cooperative Collective was announced last week, and now here comes this one yesterday that's going to benefit specifically offensive linemen.
Buyalineman.com.
This is what this is, right?
Yeah. Except for somebody else, a charity also makes out in this.
Sure.
I mean, I like that part of it, that a charity is going to get. This is, you know.
It's a 501c3.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money.
But it is directly six former, you know, UT alumni saying, hey, we need a better offensive line and we're going to put our money behind it. And that's essentially what this name, image, and likeness is. You know, the Clark Field Collective is, you know, a conduit between, you know, big donors that want to support name, image, and likeness causes and then directly working with the student athletes to create those opportunities. This is more specific, obviously. This is specifically for offensive linemen. And, you know, you do some math based on if you're involved with the Clark Field Cooperative or the Collective and then this. I mean, you could have Texas offensive linemen that are walking in making $150,000 a year.
Yes.
Like, in their pocket. Like, here you go. And if you don't think Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Flood can sell that on a recruiting trail, you know, that's an advantage. And I know there's a lot of Longhorn alums and fans saying, finally. You know, what's our biggest strength right now is we've got a lot of cash flow. It's now legal. Let's organize this and, you know, use the big stick of
yeah, if
the
we talk about
dollar.
How we're on top of everything, well, you need to
well,
be on
top
Joneses,
of this. Well, for the Joneses, be the
Joneses. Yes.
And, you know, and you, let's be fair. As we've said, Steve Sarkisian.
I don't like it, but I'll just say it's, you know.
What don't you like?
I don't like this. I don't like buying. You're going to be buying players, as I said before, as it is. I said these quarterbacks, as this thing goes on, remember I said they're not even going to step on your campus before they know what they have.
That cat's out of the bag. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Quinn Ewers is now into the transfer portal. He went to Ohio State for a semester and reportedly made $2-3 million.
And now he's gone.
Now he's back into the portal. It's a business decision for him. Now we're, you know, word is he was in Lubbock and they're offering him. You know, all the West Texas oil guys are like, oh, no, we'll get you this, we'll get you that. I mean, this is what it is now. You can't, you know, everything's coming above the table now. It used to be under the table, now it's above the table. And they're under charitable causes and Clark Field collectives, and they're just finding ways. It's not affiliated.
And if you're
going to
be in this
school,
arms race, you got to be at the top of it.
And, you know, as we said, Steve Sarkisian on the recruiting trail right now can't sell success. He can sell playing time. And now he can sell money. I mean, that's really the vision for where it can go and how to get it there and be a part of the change and getting the flagship university in the great state to back to the top.
I know,
but you can't
and
sell.
People will say that, Buck, it may sound strange, but you can buy a player's heart for your university now. You can buy his soul for that money. But can you really? Can you buy his heart, Zay? Can you buy his heart if he says, I'm from Texas. This is where I want to be. But, you know, that $50,000 sure just made it even better. I mean, how much heart is
how much
heart is in
that? Appealing. It makes things a lot more appealing. If I'm no offensive lineman, I'm definitely thinking about UT.
I know this. If I
saw where Luke Brockemeyer said, hey, I'm changing positions.
Yeah. I can work my ass off. But, you know, you can leave a scrub leaving college and have more than close to $1 million. For playing a game of football.
Well, and this is what I have argued for years and years, decades, about this. I mean, as the billions and billions rise in college athletics, okay, I'm all for the player that he's never going to step foot in the National Football League.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not thinking it's a bad thing. It's just that we are here now.
We're here. And more power to him. I mean, how many of these offensive linemen that are going to come in here that aren't ever going to step foot in the National Football League? You hope they all do.
Yeah, but after they get out of here, they're going to work.
And the hope for their trouble and, you know, what they've done at the University of Texas and all the sellouts and wins, they'll have maybe $1 million in their pockets or, right. you know, $500,000. Good for them. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, that's, you know, we're all watching and supporting and covering the team. I've never seen the devil in this. The devil was always in the details where the university didn't want them to be employees and all that come with that. Well, this is the way around that. And, you know.
And you don't have to really do a thing. But as I said, I'm going to have some guys with some heart that the money, you know, that it is about the school.
Sure.
And that's why you have coaches to figure that out.
You're right. And that's and guess what? The coaches are kind of just like us. They're just trying to figure it out as they go of how this is going to play out. We've now seen a quarterback leave his senior year of high school, walk away from his team with a chance to win a state championship because South Lake Carroll is still playing, by the way, into the semifinal round of the state's playoffs. And Quinn Ewers made whatever the estimates are, $2, $3 million in Columbus.
And now my Tubbies are making $50,000 a year.
And he's already jumping
ship. Hey, Tubby, get over here. Here's $50,000.
Well, we'll run through some of these significant names on the offensive line recruitment that the Longhorns are in on. I mean, Steve Sarkisian has
said the round-shouldered boys are making some cash for coming in.
Well, you could argue it's been the biggest problem in this program for the last decade, that they've been below average to bad on the offensive line, and it's prevented them from, you know, being in these conversations. But, you know, we'll see. You know, money can change a few things. And
boy,
we'll
sure
see
can. Hopefully you can focus and stay on sides and things like that. That money will make you focus maybe, right? Or maybe not.
Well, we'll all see. You know, not making, well, whether it was under the table or whatever, not getting paid wasn't helping. Maybe this will help. But yes, I mean, it's really about getting these players on campus and Steve Sarkisian and staff developing them. We did read from, you know, Tope Amade, the former, now former, how about the former guys? They're like, wait a second. The hell? I mean, no, we're just graduating. Can I get back in on this? $50,000? Are you kidding me? But either way, but, you know, Tope Amade with his very nice open letter to Texas fans saying that Kyle Flood is the real deal. He's the best coach. He was there 6 years with four different offensive line coaches and says Kyle Flood will, if given time, will change the fate of Texas on the offensive front. And now you got to go in and get the top players to bring them in, and that's what this is all about. So we'll talk more Steve Sarkisian and the players they are going to target on the recruiting trail that are offensive linemen. Also, gosh, better pay attention to the Aggies down there in College Station. They added another 5-star to their recruiting haul yesterday. We'll dive in there. It's December the 15th now, just a week out to the early signing period and 72-hour early window, which opens up December the 15th. So we'll dive in there. We've got NFL, college football, the Heisman finalists announced, coaching carousel, plenty to do on a chilly but beautiful Tuesday morning in the ATX on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you, show of the people. Craig Way has a Craig Way report coming up. Also get your B&E fact of the day, talking plenty of Texas and college football. Saw this, Buck, where over the course of the last couple of months, the crazy coaching carousel. Says here, a grand total so far of $94.4 million.
Mel Tucker's salary.
In coaching buyouts in 2021.
Wow. His contract.
Coaching buyouts. Headlined by LSU buying out Ed Orgeron to the tune of $17 million. Florida's $12 million on Dan Mullen.
Yeah, I don't know what Dan Mullen did, but Ed O, he's bad for publicity.
TCU.
Or he's either bad or good.
TCU coughing up $12 million to buy out Gary Patterson before they could even hire
so he could
Sonny
step
Dykes.
Take a step back.
Yeah. Come on, man.
And that's, you know, that would be my argument because a lot of people talk about this these name, image, and likeness deals that are being cut and collectives that are being put together and people think it's bad for football. Look, the money in this industry is so tremendous.
Yeah, and they had a chance to curb this all years ago.
Well, at least get with
or
the Joneses.
Slow it down a little bit.
At least get with the times. But, you know, I've always advocated for the players because people say, well, what about the $100,000 scholarship and 4 years of college tuition? Well, that's what all college athletes are getting. Every student athlete at the University of Texas that's on full scholarship gets the same thing. It's the football program that's bankrolling all of it. So why wouldn't the football players who are bankrolling everything else be allowed to share in the revenues? And this is all that is. This is just the players who, I mean, gosh, I mean, that's $95 million in coaching buyouts in the last month that schools are willing to throw around. The money is so great, you can't deny the actual product, the things we turn on the TV and go to games to watch, from benefiting in that, just this haul of cash. It's always been hypocritical to me in a big way. And yes, they'll still get their scholarships and they'll still, but so will everybody else on the campus. I mean, every other student athlete. Texas has over 500 student athletes in a lot of different sports, and they're all on scholarship. Someone's got to pay for all of that. And it's the football program that pays for it at most places. So, guess what? In name, image, and likeness, all athletes can capitalize on that, not just football players. But I think we all generally understand that the football team's going to get a majority of it because it's the most high profile. But it doesn't mean that Clark Field Collective, it's for all teams and all student athletes on the 40 acres to be able to, you know, cash in on name, image, and likeness and their branding and their name. And to me, I think it's great. But either way, the money is just tremendous. If those schools have that much money, and UT just bought out Tom Herman and his staff to the tune of a huge number just last offseason, and then hired Steve Sarkisian. So it is it's a multi-billion dollar industry. We know that. And it's growing. I mean, this is not slowing down. I mean, this is getting bigger. And there's talk of the move from a 4-team playoff to a 12-team playoff.
Right.
Which is going to increase the profits again and the revenues involved in it. And, I think we're all in the same boat. You can't get enough of college football on a Saturday. It's about as good as it gets. And, you know, this is reaping the benefits of that, which I'm for. But as for Texas, Buck, the recruiting trail, I mean, you have these name, image, and likeness things coming together. You have to go use them because, as we've said, Steve Sarkisian can sell a vision.
And then you got to still bring them here, and they have to win.
And you got to develop
pay
them.
You can pay for them, but once again, I'll take the 5 stars and pay for them. You can take the 2 stars and give them $50,000, but most Saturdays I'll probably beat you.
Yeah, better. Well, that's what Alabama is going to start. Right?
Yeah.
That's what the best program is.
Absolutely.
Doing. But I do think, you know, Steve Sarkisian can't sell success on the field right now. So, but he can sell these opportunities to make money. But at the same time, selling the vision, and you have to sell that and get some of these top players in here because it's not going to turn without the best players. And if you're indeed headed to,
and
this,
you're going to go out there every day and work for this money, by the way.
Sure, absolutely, and you'll earn it. But again, I don't know. This is where this was headed as soon as name, image, and likeness was put on the board. So people were wondering, is it, $50,000 for offensive linemen? Well, that's just the going rate. That's just how this is going to operate. But at the same time, you have to go
As I said, behind the scenes, if you think this is big, what do you think the going rate for a quarterback is?
More than that.
Oh, I would say so.
Well, I mean, you don't think Bryce Young, who's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy on Saturdays, lined his pockets this year? I mean, again, it's just, but, he's showing up and performing and playing great. I don't have a problem with it. Good for him. Good for that young man. Quinn Ewers made whatever, $2-3 million in Columbus.
They were willing to pay him that.
And took 2 snaps while in Columbus. That's just, those are going to be the good and the bad of this name, image, and likeness. In the end, it's about Texas and their ability to go recruit some of the best players in the country, and that's really what Steve Sarkisian is trying to do. Now, not coincidentally, when Texas announces this new pancake factory thing, the very same day, Mario Cristobal leaves Oregon and takes the job at Miami, his alma mater, where he played offensive line back in the day and was part of a national championship team at the U. He's now taking over for Manny Diaz, who was let go. There's a kid named Kelvin Banks from Houston Summer Creek High, top left tackle prospect in the state. He was committed to Oregon. He is now decommitted. As of yesterday, and there's talk that there's certainly inside the recruiting circles that Texas is in a good position for Kelvin Banks, and they're after him. Texas is in on a number of the top offensive line recruits, both statewide and nationally, and we'll see if they can close those here in the next week or so, because December 15th is the day. And Steve Sarkisian has said, we want 5 or 6 high school offensive linemen in the class. Currently, there are only 2 committed. So that tells you that they're waiting on the top players, and they're making a hard push on the top players. And now they have this, pancake factory thing to sell on the recruiting trail as well, which would pay each of them, $50,000 annually on top of what the Clark Field Collective could pay them. And we'll see if that has influence. And you add Kyle Flood, who's one of the top offensive line coaches and developers out there, to the mix. And that's, you know, the optimistic side of this for Texas is you can land. That's really the focus for the Longhorns right now. They have their quarterback for this class. That's Malik Murphy, the kid from California, the five-star quarterback. They've got, you know, some running backs, and we talked about the defensive side. I mean, they've got 12, 13 commitments on the defensive side. It's really about the last five or six offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That they would like to add to this recruiting class and make it a line of, you know, recruiting class of beef up front on both sides of the ball that can really become the foundation of where Texas wants to go. And Kelvin Banks would be a big one. And there are several of those kids. There's the kid Malik Ogbo from out in California. They've got a couple of kids from the West Coast that they're recruiting. The kid from Arlington Bowie is on their radar screen. There's a kid named Cam Dewberry, who's a big offensive lineman. And those are the top guys. And Steve Sarkisian has said what he said recently is 3 weeks ago, that when someone asked about just having two commitments on the offensive line, he said, look, we could have six right now. We just want the right guys.
Sure.
We want the right guys, and we're not going to settle. We're going to push hard to make sure we land.
You just don't need numbers.
Yeah, we don't need
bodies.
We need
good players.
Well, I mean, you could argue that's what they walked into, where they just had bodies, not, you know, players. If you're going to get this thing fixed on the offensive line, on the lines of scrimmage.
Got to have players.
Got to have players. And that's where you turn and look down at what Jimbo Fisher's doing with Texas A&M. Give credit where credit is due. Oklahoma's loss was Texas A&M's gain yesterday. We mentioned it in the headlines, but this is a big deal. Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies have now recruited the top two defensive linemen in the country for the class of 2022. They have the number one ranked interior defensive lineman, a five-star kid from the state of Tennessee who is committed to, or at least verbally committed to Texas A&M, big-time kid named Walter Knowles. And yesterday they received the commitment from the number one edge defensive lineman in the country, kid from Lakeland, Florida, who had been committed to Oklahoma. His name is Gabriel Brownlow Dindy from Lakeland, Florida. He announced yesterday he's flipping his commitment from OU to the Aggies. He is listed as the number one defensive lineman in the country, and he's now part of a pretty impressive recruiting haul for Texas A&M.
They're not looking to be in the top five. They're looking to be number one, aren't they?
Yeah, well,
you're getting there.
I mean, those kind of recruiting classes, that's what Alabama's used to doing, and
right.
Georgia has been doing with Kirby Smart. And look, Jimbo Fisher's recruited very well since getting to Texas A&M. But, you know, the two top defensive linemen, we know they had a great offensive line recruiting haul last year. When it was such a fertile recruiting season for Texas and Texas high school offensive line talent. But, I mean, that's now four five-star players that the Aggies have committed for this class alone. The quarterback, Connor Wegman, and that's the reason that A&M's not involved in the Quinn Ewers conversation. They're committed to Connor Wegman, the five-star. And then Evan Stewart, the wide receiver, top wide receiver in the country, he's from Frisco.
And they still have two young enough quarterbacks right there in the fold.
Yeah, I mean, they've got... You know, Haynes King will come back next year. He'll be a part of it with Matt Calzada. But, you know, Connor Wegman's a freshman, but look around. I mean, C.J. Stroud's a freshman. He's going to be at the Heisman ceremony on
That's
Saturday.
Right.
Bryce Young's a redshirt freshman. He's going to be at the Heisman thing and probably win the Heisman. You know, it doesn't take long for these top quarterbacks to emerge and become big factors in a football program. We'll see at Texas A&M. But that's who you're competing with now, and you're headed to the Southeastern Conference. If you're the University of Texas, so that's how you have to recruit. Big picture,
and you got to get a lot of them too. That's the thing right now.
It is indeed.
Like they're worrying about Quinn Ewers and what will Malik think. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to recruit every year. I'll recruit the five best if I can, and if I get two, I'll be so damn happy.
Yeah, because
they're going to leave. They're not. You know, most of the times they're going anyway. Those five-star guys aren't staying at a lot of places. They move around. If it doesn't fit, they're gone.
Yeah, well, you know that going in, man.
Right.
So you have to recruit them. But, you know, Malik Murphy has been a Texas commitment since Steve Sarkisian walked in here. Sark and A.J. Milwee were recruiting him.
Big Murph. I'm going to have to call him Big Murph. That dude is big, man.
Yeah, there's a picture on the internet this morning of Steve Sarkisian in the house of
Malik Murphy. Somebody tell me that guy can motor at least. Say, come on, give me a clue that guy's going to run 4.4, 4.5. And move.
No, he's
is that? Am I talking about? I don't know. Am I thinking? No, I'm not thinking of like a Vince Young.
No, with Malik Murphy from California. The quarterback
yes.
is 6'4", 6'5". He's a big kid.
Randall Cunningham.
No, he's more of a pocket thrower than he is a runner.
Zay, he doesn't go anywhere.
Brian Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich?
Yeah. His best.
I mean, Steve Sarkisian has said many times, I don't major in running quarterbacks. I major in passing quarterbacks. So if Sark's recruiting him, you know he's about pocket throwing and like you see with Bryce Young at Alabama, right?
Oh, that dude can run.
But the ability to move in the pocket to throw.
He positions himself well to get balls off in the pocket for a little guy. He's not a very big guy, E. But if you see him take off and run, that son of a gun.
Well, but that's the thing about Malik Murphy. He's an impressive-looking guy, man.
Tyrone Swoops. Swoops, there it is. What's wrong with that? I always said he should be a tight end. In the NFL, I still believe.
Yeah, well, that picture's making the rounds as Steve Sarkisian is making his in-house visits and in-house rounds.
He's got to be 6'4", 6'5", right?
Yeah, well, that's how he's listed. And you watch his film, and he's a big kid that stands tall in the pocket and throws a pretty football. He is the Longhorn 5-star signal caller that's rolling in here for the class of 2022. And we'll follow that all the way to National Signing Day. But good stuff with the Longhorns on the recruiting trail. We'll run through some of these top offensive line prospects. Also, before the top of the hour, your B&E fact of the day. Patriots made it 7 in a row last night. Does anybody want to face New England right now in the AFC? It's all things we're kicking around on a Tuesday. First, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you. We're talking Texas and the offensive line recruiting trail. Horns with a Heart now has been announced. We'll reset that coming up in the headlines. It is the Pancake Factory. Longhorn offensive linemen will walk in making $50,000 a year for charitable causes and for their own pockets, which has a big conversation going this morning. But this, once name, image, and likeness became a reality, this is where it was headed. As somebody texted and said, $50,000 a year is more than what most school teachers make. Well,
yes.
Great. That's a different good discussion. I would like to see our school teachers make more, but at the same time,
I would too.
This is, college football is either the first or second most popular sport in our country. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and finally the players who play it are able to benefit in that financially. I don't have a problem with it, but I know some people do, for sure. But as the Longhorns are now looking for offensive linemen, Buck, how about this? On top of the high school recruits we're talking about, two offensive linemen from Virginia, the University of Virginia. Bronco Mendenhall stepped aside at Virginia.
Right.
Two offensive linemen at Virginia have entered the transfer portal, including their left tackle and their center, who happens to be a Remington Award finalist this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy is all ACC caliber player. Might want to jump in on that. I mean, I know that there are a lot of teams that would like to jump in on that conversation, but just putting it out there that the transfer portal will be another place to attack to try to fix your offensive line, because it's not understating it to suggest that the Longhorns would like to bring in, as many as six new offensive linemen through the high school ranks and through the portal ranks, maybe
and
eight.
Through the portal, it'd be nice to go ahead and take three. If need be.
Because right now with the guys moving on and then just general attrition, I mean, you can look at the Longhorns and see they really only have either seven or eight scholarship offensive linemen. And normally in a healthy program, you have up to 15 offensive linemen, mm-hmm. right? You'd like to be two deep at each position. Then when some swing guys and developmental guys, Longhorns are half of that right now. So, and it's not very good. So you would like to add at least three out of the portal, at least two, and then
Then you want to sign a couple on the high school trail. So that you can develop in high school.
That's right. So the Longhorns are deep in that, but the kid from Virginia is into the portal. Their left tackle is into the portal as well. As we talk coaching carousel, which leads to recruiting, I know nobody in Austin is going to feel sorry for Oklahoma, but, man, Lincoln Riley has gutted that. I mean, Lincoln Riley was with Oklahoma poised and Texas to join the Southeastern Conference. A week or so ago, Oklahoma was feeling good about it. They had Lincoln Riley, one of the top offensive minds and coaches in the country, and with all the success they've had developing offensive players and quarterbacks
right.
and Heisman Trophy winners.
And that's the price you pay for having winning a bunch of titles.
And, Lincoln Riley had gotten this thing recruiting nationally. We talked about the kid that was committed to OU that now is going to Texas A&M, the number one defensive lineman in the country. With Lincoln Riley and the exposure he's brought to the program with all the success and quarterbacks, the numbers are pretty staggering right now. The fifth 2022 recruit Oklahoma has lost since Lincoln Riley announced he is leaving. Sixth or fifth.
Here you go, Brent. Have a good time.
And so Brent Venables walks in trying to rebuild relationships, but the recruiting class for this year has fallen apart. including a bunch of five stars, and they're, you know, 2023 class has taken attrition as well.
Yeah, and how many guys on that last staff can you keep that know some of these players and these kids,
you know,
and still know enough about the University of Oklahoma, you know?
Yeah. And then there's going to be a general question that how good of a coach is Brent Venables? I mean, as a head coach.
Who's he going to be? Who's going to be his OC?
That's right. Now, that becomes the next bill. There's a guy named Joe Brady available who helped LSU win a national title a couple years ago with Joe Burrow. He was just relieved of duties by the Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule. You could do worse than that if you're the Oklahoma Sooners on the offensive side of the ball. But we'll see. The name Jeff Lebby has been mentioned too. He's the offensive line or the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss.
Well, the key for Oklahoma is if the quarterback stays.
And he was there yesterday.
He
was there for the introduction to Brent Venables. He was on hand. Caleb Williams, the young quarterback. There has been some scuttle that he may be thinking about joining, you know, Lincoln Riley out in California. Because he came there for Lincoln Riley and for the development and you know, playing in that offense. So we'll see. And so, you know, again, no one's feeling sorry for Oklahoma. But
no, not at all. They can just implode. That would be wonderful.
They are they're frustrated in Lincoln, or in Norman, I should say, because of Lincoln Riley's decision to head out to the West Coast and take a bunch of recruits with him on the recruiting front, and we'll talk more about it. We'll get back into the NFL as well. Pretty amazing last night in Monday Night Football. The stat line for one Mac Jones, the quarterback, 2 completions on 3 attempts for 19 yards.
And we're winners.
And we are winners. And that'll lead us to our B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Texas Orthopedics. Texas owned and operated for over 30 years, providing comprehensive orthopedic care for your whole family. TXOrtho.com.
But could you guess the last time a quarterback in an NFL football game threw that few passes in a game? Fewest by any team since when last night? 3 attempts for the Patriots, and they won this football game 14-10 with their quarterback attempting only 3 passes in up to 50-mile-an-hour winds. Up in upstate New York there. We'll have the answer for you on the other side. The last time a quarterback in an NFL game had this few attempts in one full football game, we'll have the answer for you on the other side. Maybe you could guess it. We'll hit that coming up. Also, some other facts of the day to get to. Your headlines, your coach's corner on a chilly Tuesday in the ATX. It's B&E with you on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.